Welcome to the Tuesday, November 26th edition of the City Council of Arroyo Grande. We had a special meeting at 5:30, and now we're beginning our regular meeting at 6 o'clock p.m. Can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Yurich?
Here.
Councilmember Shorten?
Here.
Councilmember Pauling?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Brennan?
Here.
And Mayor Ray Busson?
Here. Joining us tonight is Shannon Dempsey from the AG Rotary Club to lead us in the flag salute.
Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you would tell us what you've been up to.
Yes, well, the Rotary Club of Arroyo Grande is very pleased to announce that next year we'll be celebrating our 75th anniversary in the spring. So we are the first club to be started in the five cities. And on December 15th, we actually have our community sing-along. It's our 12th sing-along, and everyone really loves it with Santa coming and singing along with all of the holiday songs that everyone knows. So that is at the Clark Center on December 15th. Tickets are on sale. They sell out every year, so it's time to get those tickets. And I just wanted to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving and a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And as previously stated, we came out of closed session, so I'm going to throw this over to our city attorney to make a, not so much an announcement, but closure.
A brief announcement. The council discussed performance expectations of the city attorney, but there's no formal action to report.
Thank you. That takes us to item 5B. Will someone please move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And none opposed. Motion carries. We have no special presentations tonight, so I will open up community comments. This is the time when you can come up to the dais and talk to us about anything that is not on tonight's agenda. So come on up.
Good evening, Council, Mayor, staff. I'd like to offer an invocation. Almighty God, we give you thanks for giving us another day. Thank you for being blessed to be in this free and beautiful country and in this city. Thank you for our fellow citizens, for our council, mayor, and staff. Thank you for our first responders, our firefighters, our men and women in blue. Thank you for the farmers who provide the food we eat. Thank you for our family, our friends, and our faith in God. May you continue to bless us. We ask that you continue to protect the men and women of our armed forces and continue to grant peace, freedom, and prosperity to each of us, to our United States. This we ask in your name. Thank you. And I'd like to make another little announcement. It's about, I'm with the Pismo Beach Five Cities Rotary Club. We're not near as old as the Arroyo Grande. But nonetheless, this is our seventh annual free Christmas movie. It's at Fair Oaks Theater. It's always the second Saturday of December, which would be the 14th. The doors open at 9:30, and the movie starts at 10:15. There's no charge for the movie, and there's no charge for the 50 raffle prizes we give out that day. It's a gift to the community. Now, if you choose to bring a non-perishable food item or a toy, unwrapped toy, we give the toys to Boys and Girls Club and the food St. Patrick's non-denominational food baskets. So thank you, and I have flyers, and I can leave them here if anybody's interested. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And maybe if you could give those maybe to the city clerk, and she can, that'd be great. I just want to make sure that we get those off the door. Thank you so much. Would anyone else like to come forward and talk about items that are not on tonight's agenda? All right, seeing no one, I'll close public comment. And move us to items, consent agenda. This is items 8A through 8F. Would anyone like to pull or separately consider or ask questions about anything on the agenda?
No.
I have none.
Mayor, I just had a comment on 8F.
Okay. And I have a question on 8A. And let me make sure. And 8D.
Is that B or D?
D as in dog. D. So for 8A, I guess, Nicole, I suppose this question is for you. Just noticed the cadence of payroll and benefits. It seems unusually high that month. It's generally in the $500,000 range, not over six in my recollection. So can you just kind of speak briefly as to why that number might be unusually high on this one?
Yeah. So we definitely have some overages. We had our fire department. They went over to help with the strike team, and so that was a very large expense. It was $32,000 additional. So I think that's one of the biggest things that is different than usual.
Got it. Thank you so much, and thanks to our firefighters.
Can I ask a question about that, Nicole? So we'll get reimbursed for that, correct?
We will,
and
yeah.
When will we get reimbursed for that?
You know, when they're out there on the fire, they submit all of their timesheet and all of their equipment mm-hmm. use, and so it does take a while for us to get reimbursed. I'd say 3 to 4 months before we receive that.
Okay, and then typically, I know sometimes, like, our police department will go and cover, like, help if there's a big event in Pismo. Is that a similar reimbursement, or is that something different?
If it's in Pismo Beach, it would be just mutual aid. So we would go out and support them without reimbursement, just the same that they would do for us.
Okay, I don't know if there's something, and we can talk about it later, that maybe there should be something notated when we do get reimbursed, even if it's 4 months later. To sort of show that that's coming back to us and that's not a true cost. It might be helpful. I don't know exactly how it would show, but I think we are getting the money back. I think it's important.
We are getting the money back, but the money's going back to Five Cities Fire Authority and the expenses for Five Cities Fire Authority. The city just administers the payroll for the fire department, and so they are considered our employees and we include it in our report. So I can definitely provide you that information. But.
Okay. Thank you, Nicole.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. My second question is I should have asked you before, for our new old city attorney. So I'm looking at item 8D, and this is with regard to our interim finance director, or that's not what it's called anymore, but administrative services director. And I started twitching when I was looking at a CalPERS retiree, given our last experience with the CalPERS retiree. And so I read through that contract. I saw the indemnification clause on item 20, but I am just dotting every I and crossing every T that this contract reflects what we've learned from the last one.
Yes, we've met all the elements necessary to satisfy PERS with this one, and I don't think I'd worry about it.
Okay.
All the I's have been dotted and the T's crossed.
Thank you. And comment on item 8F?
Yes, I had a comment. It's a simple one. I just noticed from August 2018 to August 2019, our per capita water usage has increased. So I know we had a lot of rain this past year, and I just urge the public to continue to conserve water even during the rainy season, because when we are in a drought, we need all our resources. So I just noticed an increase in usage, and I just wanted to just make that little mention. Thank you.
Gosh, I didn't even think about the fact that this is a good time to mention to people that they might want to check their irrigation ahead of this storm, because it's been so hot. We probably all have it running on our timers.
And fertilize. Now it's a good time to fertilize, too.
While we're on it, right?
While we're on that.
Okay, so any other questions generated? So I'll go ahead and open it up to public comment. If someone would like to come up and speak on items 8A through 8F, please do. All right, seeing no one, I'll close public comment and bring this back to the council for consideration.
I'll move to approve consent agenda items 8A through 8F.
Second.
There was a tie. Who's going to?
Mayor Pro Tem, doesn't matter.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Can we get a roll call, please? Oh, wait a minute. Do we have any? No, that's all the other stuff. Okay.
Councilmember Shorten?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding?
Yes.
Councilmember George?
Yes.
And Mayor Ray Russom?
Yes. We have no items 9 tonight, public hearings. That takes us to old business, item 10A. This is consideration of adoption of an ordinance prohibiting the sale and distribution of electronic cigarettes and vaping products that require but have not received a Food and Drug Administration order approving their marketing, and an ordinance prohibiting the possession of all tobacco products and paraphernalia by persons under 21. Mr. Bergman slash Mr. Carmel.
Thank you, Madam
Mayor.
When it rains,
it pours.
Throwing me in the fire. Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. At your November 12th meeting, you introduced an ordinance prohibiting the sale and distribution of e-cigarettes and vaping devices that require but haven't received an FDA order approving their marketing. You made two minor modifications to that ordinance. You excluded internet sales, and you changed the effective date from 3 months or 6 months to 3 months after the adoption of the ordinance. You also introduced an ordinance prohibiting the possession of all tobacco products for persons under the age of 21. It's recommended that you move by title only to adopt those ordinances and waive further reading. And I'd be glad to answer any questions. And if you could do that separately, that would be great. Two separate ordinances.
Will do. Any questions?
No. I have some.
Mayor Pro Tem.
So, Chief, you and I had a conversation because we got more information from the American Lung Association, American Heart Association, and then the email that we got previously from CAPSLO, from the Teen Ad Hoc Committee, I think it is. And so you reached out to the probation department, I think, for juveniles to find out a little more about, because my concern that I've been, I mean, these are a lot of people that have a lot of experience behind them. And so I wanted to just get more information on if there is a citation, what exactly is going to happen. And then you talked a little bit more, made me a little bit more comfortable about really who you would be looking to cite. And so maybe if you can share some of the conversations you had today with Mr. Andy Stenson and then also the probation department.
Sure. Good evening, Mayor and members of council. Yeah, so since the last meeting, I did a little research. And I did contact the SLO County Juvenile Probation Department and asked them if they could tell me the options that they could provide any time that we issue a citation to a juvenile for it should this ordinance pass. And so they talked about four different options. So the first option is, and this goes with any of them, to be honest, but any kind of citation. But they said they could review the citation and dismiss the charge with no further action or criminal record. Option number two, they could recommend intervention based on the needs of the juvenile and the family dynamics. And they could dismiss the charge with no further action or criminal record. So they could refer the juvenile to creative mediation or refer the juvenile to a cessation program within the county. Option number three is they could enter into a formal diversion contract, and that would outline specific terms and conditions that must be accomplished by the juvenile by a certain date. And if the juvenile does complete what's outlined in that contract, then all the charges are dropped and no criminal record. If they don't complete everything in the contract, then they would be charged as cited. They also said that that option they can only do one time on a juvenile, and because of that, most likely they wouldn't use that option for this ordinance. They would save that option for more serious crimes. And the fourth option is that they could refer the juvenile to traffic court, where a judge can impose counseling, a fine, community service hours, or any combination thereof. The supervisor I spoke to stated that they were in favor of adding this discretionary tool for law enforcement. I also reached out to the CMR Unified School District Superintendent Andy Stenson. Mr. Stenson and I talked about the school doing cessation programs, something similar to what was provided to us by the American Lung Association, the in-depth program. He did review that. He said he's open-minded to that. However, he would need to do more research to determine costs, staff time, and it would need board approval as well. Mr. Stinson also stated he was in favor of this ordinance as it would give law enforcement a tool that we don't currently have, and our hands are kind of tied right now. So that's what I have to bring to you.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that. And I think those are my only questions right now.
Oh, I don't... You wanted to know when we would maybe issue a citation to juveniles.
Right. I guess the line of questioning is because we keep getting more letters that the citations in all the studies that these people have done, they feel that they don't actually help control the vaping. They say it doesn't necessarily lead to kids not vaping, maybe not vaping at school, but I think the bigger picture for me is if we're going to go to all the trouble to cite them or try to get them to stop bringing it to school, the bigger issue for me is how to get them not to vape anymore at all. So this in-depth that the American Lung Association, like traffic school except for vaping, I was interested in because I felt like it was a teaching moment for the kids that get caught vaping instead of just you're going to have a ticket or a warning or whatever. I thought that doesn't take it far enough. So I spoke with Andy as well. We emailed back and forth, and he actually is pretty open to this and looked into it. So I'm going to have a conversation with him right after the Thanksgiving break. But so that's kind of my way of thinking. But can you just go over again, because of my concerns, when you think you might use the tool to actually cite the teens?
Sure. So it's not going to be on the first-time offenders, but it could be a first-time offender if maybe it was a dealer. Mm-hmm. We have the high school has experienced that occasionally, and right now there's nothing we can do about it. The repeat belligerent offenders, the ones that are doing it in class over and over, those would be the ones that we would probably issue a citation to. And then, again, you talked about the cessation program. Mm-hmm. Again, our juvenile probation department's talking about that as well. Okay. So even if we do issue a citation, mm-hmm. they're focusing on that as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I just have one follow-up question based on what Mayor Pro Tem had asked. I recall back in my law enforcement days, officers used to fill out a juvenile disposition form as the contact officer, and they would provide a recommendation to juvenile services as to the contact and possibly provide, based upon information that the officer had in their report, juvenile services would have a little more information as to the contact based upon the officer's recommendation and may follow that lead because they had experienced the contact. Are those still completed?
Not the form so much that you're talking about. I remember those as well. Mm-hmm. But anytime they're going to issue this citation, they're going to do a detailed report, and in that report they can still get that accomplished in the narrative.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And sorry, just one more question, Bo. So yes. It will be the school resource officer that would be citing?
Well, I believe the school resource officer would be most common out of all of our officers, he or she would be the one that's going to be dealing with the crisis on campus. So,
right.
Yeah, I think the majority of the citations would come from our school resource officer. But this ordinance would allow any of our officers the discretion to use that tool.
Okay. Thank you for that.
One quick follow-up question.
Yes.
At the last meeting, we talked about a look-back period. I think it was a 1 year. How do we track the statistics? For example, can we look back and say these are all the different citations that were given under this ordinance, and these were the repeat offenders, these were the first-time offenders, and then have an opportunity as a council at that time to kind of reevaluate how it's working?
Yes, absolutely. So our report management system allows us to track all that. When we fill out the citation, all that information gets entered into our report management system, to include the specific ordinance of the violation. So, yeah, we can track it in many different areas.
Excellent.
And report back.
Any other follow-ups? All right, then at this time I'll open it up to public comment. Would anyone like to come forward and speak on this item? All right. Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the council. And I guess, I mean, we're at a second read or first reading this time, right? So second reading. Thank you. So I don't know how much comment, if we need to do too much commentary, but if you...
I have no additional comments.
Okay.
I would just add that the more detail that we can track as we go for the next year period, the better. So if the council can, from, you know, that vantage point in a year from now, look back and really assess whether this was harming those youth that we otherwise wouldn't want to harm. I do think that some of the considerations raised by the Slo County Teen Task Force and the Health Commission are legitimate, and so I really hope that this action isn't putting us in a position where we are going to harm those kids. And so the tracking to me is really the way to assess whether this is working and how it's working. So I would put as much work and effort up front to really tailor that system to the extent we can so we can truly assess its functionality in a year from now. That's my only comment.
Okay. Councilmember Shorten?
No, I too appreciate the work that's been done on this, and I agree with the ordinance as written. I appreciate the letters that we've received and can understand some of those concerns, but I also think I trust our police department will use the laws within as you explained, as a way to use that as an educational opportunity and also impress upon those that there's personal responsibility involved for them to make the right choices as well. And using the citation as the means to help correct behavior, because sometimes you run into people that just will not understand and are difficult to deal with, and I think you need that, but I think your officers will use it wisely. So I agree with the way the ordinance is written. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem?
So no real comments following what I commented before during the questions. I don't know if we actually had that look back in there when we first made that motion, when we first crafted it, but I think that's imperative so that we can see that we're doing, more good than harm. I think some of the concerns that were brought up are definitely legitimate, maybe not necessarily for our area specifically. But I don't know. And so I look for that information. And I also am going to be reaching out to the school district as soon as I get back and really see if they can do the in-depth program. Because while we're capturing these people with citations, instead of just turning them loose and telling them don't do it, I'd really like them to go to a Saturday school and learn why vaping is so terrible. And so I think that it's an opportunity that shouldn't be missed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The only thing that I would add is kind of piggybacking on what Councilmember Storton said is I very much appreciate what these groups are trying to achieve, which is to not punish the user, but to really make sure that you go back to the source. And that's the intent here. But I do support the one-year look back. And so I will go ahead and make a motion that we adopt an ordinance prohibiting the sale and distribution of electronic cigarettes. And I'm going to do this in two different ones. Sale and distribution of electronic cigarettes and vaping products that require but have not received a Food and Drug Administration order approving their marketing.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Mayor Ray Russom?
Yes.
Councilmember George?
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding?
Yes.
Councilmember Storton?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Barnett?
Yes.
And I'd also like to propose ordinance prohibiting the possession of all tobacco products and paraphernalia by persons under 21 with a one-year look back to happen sometime in November, December 2020.
Second.
Any discussion? We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Mayor Ray Russom?
Yes.
Councilmember George?
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding?
Yes.
Councilmember Shorten?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Barnett?
Yes.
All right. That takes us to item 10B. This is consideration of introduction of an ordinance modifying council member salary effective December 2020. Mr. Bergman.
Hi, good evening, Mayor, council members. Jim Bergman, your city manager. Also, on November 12th, 2019, your council received information regarding current council compensation. Following public input and a lengthy discussion, your council directed staff to prepare an ordinance modifying the monthly salary or stipend for council members in the amount of $648 per month, including additional monthly compensation for the mayor in the amount of $150. Per state law, which these rates are consistent with, also cannot become effective until December 2020, after the next municipal election. So staff has returned that ordinance to you. It's certainly yours to review, and if you are in agreement with it, you can introduce that ordinance, and we'll bring it back to you for adoption at a further meeting.
Thank you. Do we have questions of staff? Any questions? Okay, seeing no questions, I'll go ahead and open it up to public comment. Would anyone like to come forward and speak on this item?
Good evening, everyone. Colleen Kubel. I'm up here this evening not to criticize, but to give you input on what happened in the last meeting, November 12th, and how it was received by the public that I have spoken to a majority of them, of the individual comments that were made during the discussions about the raise. You deserve a raise. I told you that then, and that's without question. My concerns were every one of you voiced your opposition or pro decisions or thinking behind why you would want to vote for it now instead of in 2022. And we thought we had one of you going with the other two, and we thought that we were going to be able to extend it to 2022 until the last discussion. And so, and my reason being up here is to say thank you to the other two. The community loved your vote standing up. And so we do appreciate that very much. We appreciate all of you. That's sincere from me. I do. And I might not agree with you, but I appreciate everyone up here. And I just want to say that again. My reason for being up here is what was spoken that night was somewhat disparaging. It was down to the comments made by the mayor, which is, I'm going to get rocks thrown at me anyway, so I'm going to do it anyway. And so that appeared to people that I talked to, without even talking to them, that there was no room for any discussion or listening to the public, and I know you do, so that's not a question. But it was the way that it was given, the way that it came out. The public thought, they don't care. They don't care. They're going to do it anyway. And I know that's not the case, but that's how it came across. And so that's one of them. Then there were other disparaging remarks that came up about old, retired white men and lowering the bar, the meeting before that, about the redistricting. That puts the citizens of Arroyo Grande looking at the council as if they're just going to do whatever they want to do. And you are, anyway, but we would at least like you to listen and really consider what we have to say. There's not very many of us who are willing to stand up and open their mouth and make a fool of themselves like me and some other people. And I realize that, and I do appreciate you listening to me. And I'm not here to criticize. I'm just trying to give you input from the citizens who I have many contacts and how it came across. And so I don't think there would be any problem if you waited until 2022 for that raise. And I just wanted to say thank you, and please reconsider.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak on this?
Patricia Price, Arroyo Grande. I went home and gathered my thoughts for a couple of weeks so I could speak about this. I'm not for this pay raise right now. And the reasons, I wanted to first say that there seemed to be the thought of some of the people that came up that our budget wasn't balanced. And I wanted to say, I know that it is balanced. And I appreciate that, and that's what we do, you know, every year. One of the reasons it's balanced is because we cut staff and city employees last year and the year before rather deeply. And it was painful for me to watch because all these people needed jobs. They were good at their jobs, and they're missed. Another way that we balance the budget was we raised prices for some of the services. And I think we cut some services. I'm not positive about that. And we raise prices not to make a profit. We don't make a profit. We cover our costs. So people need to understand that. We've got some big projects coming up that are going to be very, very expensive. The Briscoe Interchange is one of them. That's going to cost everybody quite a bit in the future. CalPERS, the costs keep going up every year. Our insurance for employees. And then we've got the Five Cities Fire Authority, which is costing a lot of money, and we've got to figure out how we can take care of that and get things evened out so we still get good service and aren't paying more than we need to. And I said last week, and I'll say it over and over again, our last meeting, you guys do a fantastic job. I'm always impressed. Every time you open your mouth, pretty much, I'm impressed with what comes out and the way you think about things. I really appreciate the difference of opinions. I appreciate it more when you agree with me, but but it's okay. I mean, that's the way, you know, government works. We disagree sometimes, and sometimes we don't. One thing that I... And this might be a misconception on my part, but it's been my thought that what you do and what the people that on the other committees and things, it's basically...
If you could wrap that up.
Pardon?
If you could wrap that up.
I will. It seems like this, it's mostly volunteer, what you do, it seems... I've always considered it more of a volunteer because you don't make that much money. You have to really want to do it. Yours is a volunteer position that you work really hard to get with a stipend and some pretty good perks.
Thank you very much.
Insurance being one of them. So I think that this isn't the time. This isn't the time to give yourselves a raise.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to speak on this? You sure? Okay. Then I'll close public comment, bring this back to the council, and because I'm the one that brought this forward, I'm going to take a moment, and especially since I was brought up in public comment, to take the chair's prerogative to go first. And given the very spirited debate that we had last time, I spent some time organizing my thoughts this time to make sure that I could kind of stay on point of and not rehash the conversation that we had last time. More I want to address this conception, or I won't call it a misconception, that we didn't listen to the people. We all listen to the people. We all have different groups. We all have different circles. Some of them overlap. They're like this giant five-way Venn diagram. And so often when people say, you know, everyone's telling me this or you're not listening to that, it's really important for people to understand. We get a lot of correspondence and from differing groups. And so we're all listening. And I guarantee you that we're all listening. And even when we don't agree, we're listening. And I know that the people who come here regularly know that. I just want to make sure that I take the time to say that on camera. And I also want to say that for those of us who did vote for this, and even for the people who would have voted for it going forward a little later, none of us is doing this out of greed. And part of the reason this doesn't get done and hadn't been really monetarily changed in 20 years is because it's near political suicide to do it. And I am just exposing my thought process here that when I pushed for this, and I'm the one that brought this forward, that's at my own peril. My seat goes up every 2 years, so I may not see a dime of this. So it's in my best interest to not put this forward, because then I don't take the hit. And that's what I meant by the statement about the rocks, that I'm willing to take those rocks because I believe that this is what's best in the long-term interest of the city and in the long-term interest of bringing forth diverse candidates and making sure that as we go forward to districting, that we can widen that field as wide as possible. And I also sat and gave it a little bit more thought that if in any time that we all consider something, we have to consider if each of us took the full benefit package. That's not the case, but if we did, and you added all five of those together, it's less than the cost of one of our directors. And we make some really big decisions, and we manage a 20-something million-dollar budget, $18 million of that is general fund. We make some really big decisions, and in my mind, that's a bargain for what we get and what we provide to the community. And it's not a volunteer position. It, as you mentioned, there is a stipend, but at the same time, I heard people say, well, you knew what you were getting into. Well, that's true for any person who takes any position anywhere. And so I just want to make sure that people understand that there's no greed here. There's no ignoring public opinion, and that I am 100% sure that every person sitting at this dais thinks carefully and considers their mind and their heart before every issue. And in that spirited debate, some of us moved forward with it and some of us didn't, and that was as it's supposed to be, but that every single person reached the decision they made out of wanting to do what's best for Arroyo Grande, and anybody voting for this is not voting in their own self-interest. I guarantee it. So, again, we may respectfully disagree. I love that about our regulars here and about this council. But again, to those people who are really, I watch social media. It hurts, but I watch it. There's a lot of really hurtful things said out there, and that's just not the heart of this council. So with that, I will invite commentary from our other council members. So I see two mics on and two mics off.
I have some.
Go ahead.
Okay. I felt like I was the, if you call a swing vote, on the council at the last, at our meeting 2 weeks ago. And I struggled with the decision then. And similar to what Ms. Price said, I too went home to gather my thoughts and gave a lot of thought as to the decision that I played in this role. And I reached out to many people in the community. I actually sent out several emails to meet with individuals and people I haven't had conversations with before, just to get an idea what some people were thinking. It's interesting when you hear comments from people that say, you need to support what your constituents think, but, we live in a town of 18,000 people. Look at our audience here tonight, and I appreciate everyone that's here tonight. And, we'll get a dozen, two dozen emails, depending on the issue. And that's hardly representative of what a constituency is. But we do appreciate the people that are involved. So I started thinking to myself, I thought, okay, I've been in council for a year now. It'll be a year next week, I think, is a full year. And I kind of went through my calendar just to see what exactly have I done in the last year. So I'm going to share some of those details with you, just so you get an idea of what at least I've done, and certainly not representative of my colleagues, but I bet you it's similar, if not more. So in the last year, I've attended 24 council meetings, which consisted of 3,897 pages of agenda packets. I'm also on three different committees that I serve. I've gone to 20 of those meetings. I serve on the IWMA. They had 9 meetings. The Five Cities Fire Authority had 8 meetings. The Briscoe Overpass, we've had 1 meeting. And I'm on the Chamber Legislative Committee, which I started in 2019 in September. So between all those meetings, I have about 5,986 pages of agenda packets to read. Other meetings I've attended include city, business, and staff meetings. Those accounted for 49. I met with 37 citizens in the last year. So all of those things that are on my calendar, those are things I've done. I really haven't put hours to it because some can last half hour, but some meetings I've been to have been actually here past midnight a couple of times. I've also attended forums, special events, luncheons, dinners, speaking engagements, groundbreaking ceremonies, Eagle Scout ceremonies, and those account for about 49 different activities through the year. I've also had 7 days of training. So all this stuff that I've been involved in does not include the time I've reviewed my packets and the reading and the research time that I've done. It doesn't include my phone calls, emails, the ones I've read and responded to. It doesn't count for the grocery store contacts when I'm walking down, you know, trying to get food for my family, and I have a couple of conversations about city business. And then my own administrative organization time that I do to keep things organized for me. I'm not asking anyone to feel sorry for me. I jumped into this very eagerly. I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to do it. And there was never a question as to what is the benefit. The benefit is personal, and it's internal. And I think I share that with my colleagues. For me, I'm just a blip in history here of people that were before me and the people that are going to be coming after me. I hope we leave a good legacy for those that want to serve. I, too, was discouraged by some of the social media positions that were placed out there. And it's a sad day when we have comments like they are. I have no problem when people disagree with me. It's when they personally attack you and don't even give you the benefit of having a conversation to get to know you, understand what your thinking was, and to get an idea of why did you make that decision. Certainly, I didn't get into this to make evil decisions that are going to cause havoc in the city. That certainly wasn't my intent. I hope we don't get to a point where we're actually going to scare good people away from wanting to serve because of the negativity that's kind of going on with some of the situations that we have to deal with. So we do want quality people up here. Last time, 2 weeks ago, my vote was to support individuals that might be encouraged by the benefits and come forward and want to serve. I was the one that said old white men. I'm the oldest white man up on this council right now. I meant it in a way that I wanted to attract other people besides what we've historically had, and I apologize if I said that in an offensive way, because that certainly wasn't the intent. After all that I've gone through, all that I've looked at, my whole reasoning for coming here was to serve and provide service to my community. But I'm back to the position of I don't know who wants to serve in the future and what their motivation is going to be. I'm not sure if that dollar amount is really going to make that much of a difference. But I'm feeling that I really struggled with the decision. I had so much heartache after I left with that decision. I didn't feel comfortable when I left that I made the appropriate decision for me. And so tonight, I can't support the ordinance as written with it, the raise coming in 2020. I feel like we do have a lot in front of us where, even though the amount is small, we have some big things to tackle, and I agree with the mayor's thought process of, is there ever really a good time to do this? Likely not. There's not really a good time. But for me, moving forward, we have to decide about water rates coming up, Central Coast Blue, the Fire City's Fire Authority. We have a new budget we're going to be tackling in the next few months. We're still waiting for our community survey to even see what our citizens really want. And also we have the Briscoe Overpass. Finalization of paperwork coming through. And these are all things that are going to happen in the next 8 months, as far as I can figure. It's going to happen soon enough to where I'm not prepared to say 2020 is a good time to send the message that council's going to get a raise with everything else that's going on. And this part I take personal. I appreciate the votes of my counterparts. But when I voted yes, three of the people up here are up for election. They may or may not run. People may use this to elect them or not. That's certainly up to them. And Mr. Paulding voted no. I was the one that voted yes. And I kind of feel like I had some control over myself getting a raise in 2020, which I'm not comfortable with. And like the mayor said, no time's really a good time. But personally, I feel like that's something I don't want to carry. I would prefer, as I initially decided at the meeting 2 weeks ago, is I think 2022 is an excellent time to start the raise at the level that we have presented here. I realize it's 3 years away, but it also coincides with our districting. It's a good opportunity for people to vote within a district and use these measures as whether they want to run or not, whether it encourages them to run or not. And I just have I agonized over this, but I feel like I want to stay with my original decision, and those were my reasons why, and that's where I stand at the moment.
Mayor Pro Tem?
Thank you. The reason I was for this, and I still am for it, even though it doesn't look like there's a majority, is because at this point, we haven't had a raise in our stipend in 22 years. And as I said at the last meeting, babysitting, if you had to pay a babysitter, and if you are sort of watching what you spend, gas to go back and forth to SLO and the five cities, for the meetings that Councilmember Storton is talking about, actually, if you're having to pay for babysitting, you're actually going to pay to be on council. You really are, because babysitting is really expensive. I luckily had a husband that did shift work, and then I had my mom that could babysit for free. But if we wanted to get someone in here who's younger and maybe doesn't make as quite as enough money to, or maybe doesn't have their parents babysit, they're going to be paying to be on council. So to me, it's all about economic diversity. And I think that 22 years for cost of living, it's really different than it was 22 years ago. So as we've said over and over, no one up here is doing it for the money at all. No way. But if someone wants to do it, but they don't want to take their hard-earned money and pay for a babysitter to come serve their community, they're going to have to choose. And so I think that's unfortunate, and I hope that in 2020 and thereafter, we do get people wanting to serve, that maybe don't have as much money as others do, but they still want to serve their community, and they don't have the benefit of having a babysitter that's free. So thank you.
Councilmember Paulding.
I just want to essentially reiterate the concerns I had at the last meeting, and that is that I think any other day, when you look at the table that we saw of comparable costs or salaries with the surrounding jurisdictions, it makes sense that there should be an increase, just so that there's equity there. And the role of a council member has changed dramatically over time. There didn't used to be social media, for example, as just one of the many new demands of the office. But for the reasons I specified at the last meeting, we have some budget issues that need to be dealt with first, in my opinion. And so I won't be voting for this tonight for those reasons.
Councilmember George.
First of all, I wanted to thank everyone for coming out tonight. Ms. Kubel, Ms. Price, you always come out and you always speak, and I appreciate that. And you're right, there are a lot more people that should but don't. And for you to do that and to take your time out to sit there and share with us your opinions, it does mean a lot to us. And I want you to know that we do hear you, we do listen, and we're grateful and we're thankful. And for all the other citizens that come out, other times it's the same. We appreciate that you come out, and we need your feedback, because that's how we know that what we're doing is right, or we're on the right track, or we have some work to do. But when I say we, and this is something that I've said many times, I do believe that we includes you and I, you and us. I don't even know if that's proper grammar. But the bottom line is I hear a lot, they're expecting us to pay this. They're expecting us to do this. They're expecting us to understand this. And we are part of that. So what we're saying is we're here making the best decision we can for our community. And whatever we're asking of you, we're also asking of us, because we live, eat, sleep, breathe in Aurora Grande as well. I do believe that this is a volunteer position. I started off on ARC, went to Planning Commission, got these giant packets, had no idea what I was doing and how I even got to where I was, but I loved it. And I appreciated my time, and it helped me understand the city and this history and these roads and these stores and how they came to be. And being able to be here to serve you is an honor. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it when we're being yelled at, but I try to step back. And we saw my son's pediatrician yesterday, and he's a well-known pediatrician in SLO, and he's been a huge supporter of mine for 22 years now. And the one thing he said to me was, Lon, just be careful, because the people in the political arena are so mean, and just don't let them get to you. And that is hard to do. I think we do it well because we're able to separate. And I know I have family and friends and colleagues, people that I work with that I respect and respect me. So I don't take it to heart too much. But it is something that, even though it is a volunteer position, it's a position that deserves some respect. I'm not saying that you need to sit here and respect me because I'm city council. No, I'm saying you just need to respect my time. And while I'm not asking for a raise at this moment, it was something that I really had to consider for future councils. How do we pay them enough so that we show them, yes, it's a volunteer position, but we also respect your time? I can't even tell you how much time it probably took Councilmember Storton to put those numbers together. Like I wouldn't even...
I didn't add that on my list.
Yeah, exactly. Just that time alone was amazing. But he's right. If you just add up everything that we do, when I was asked to apply for the appointed position, I had no idea. My only frame of reference was my time on planning and my time on ARC. And so I thought maybe a few more hours. No, it is so much more. And it's not just the obligated, committed time that is more. It's that it becomes, and this is how I am with my clients too, it becomes something that just becomes a part of you. And the city is just a part of you. You eat, sleep, breathe, think about the city. You can ask our city manager how many times I text him and call him with all these different ideas that I have. And it's because I'm so passionate about being here. And I want to encourage the next generation of council people to come forward and be equally as passionate. And this vote tonight would be to show them, hey, we're going to respect your time. The time now versus the time 22 years ago, yes, it needs to change. And I recognize that. Do I want it to change now? No. Do I want it to change in 2020? No. If there's a way for us to adjust this ordinance to start 2022 after the second election, I would be happy to support it. But I do support it because I think it's important. It's important to send that message out to our community that we love what we do, and we want the next generation that comes up to love what they do as well. So again, I can't support the 2020. If there's a way to change, modify the ordinance, I'm going to leave that to council and our city attorney to handle. But as it stands, I can't support it. Thank you.
I have a question of staff based on the comments of council. In an effort to make the effort worthwhile and to protect future councils from going through this harrowing gauntlet of trying to get this done, is it possible, you know, if we were to adjust the ordinance and just change the numbers to 2022, obviously we can do that. But then in 2022, we're already starting off backwards. Hmm. And the way we arrived at the number that we arrived at is that state law allows 5% per year. Could we introduce the ordinance with an adjustment for 2022 that just changes that number to what it would have been if we had added in the other 2 years?
Yes, you could. I mean, there's a risk the law could change. I think that's the only thing I'd throw out there. But under current law, and you could put it on your books, and if that happened, we'd probably have to repeal it or modify it. But yes, that's certainly a possibility.
Has, to your knowledge, has that Does that change routinely?
No. No.
Okay. So I guess I would like to float the idea of, you know, if the will of the council is to wait to 2022, at least we start off the next generation of people at least parity, which would be whatever that escalation factor would be in there, which would be quite nominal at 5% per the 2 years.
Well, I think 25 years is better than nothing, so I'd say I'm all for that. I think it's good.
I think city manager is crunching some numbers right now.
Yes. So we'll do some numbers here, and it shouldn't be very difficult, and we'll wait for your direction if you want to use this.
Okay, we've heard from two.
I won't be supporting either the 2020 or the 2022 tonight.
Councilmember Shorten?
I'm just struggling with where we find that worth. You know, are we looking at, are you suggesting 5% each year for those 3 years of?
It's 2 years because it would have been 2020
right,
and 2022.
Correct. So 10%.
It's the same thing that we've, no, it's not 10%. It's 5, like, per annum.
Right. Per year.
But it's not cumulative like that. So do you know what the number is yet?
Right. So if you just want to add 5% to the 648, you got to add $32.40. So 648 plus 3240, is that right?
High math here.
$680.40 in 2022. But that's only adding 5%.
It would be slightly higher because it would be 5% of the compounded amount.
You're not supposed to compound.
Oh, you're
so
not
that's
compounding.
Another thing,
oh,
right?
Okay.
But it's not 5% every year. You're just doing
right.
It 5% every election cycle. So, you know, my math shows it's $680.40 a month.
So that we can kick the tires on this. I've seen when you do changes on the fly like this, oftentimes you make mistakes.
Right.
I'd recommend that you just let us bring this back on I guess it's on the 12th.
Look, she agrees. She agrees. She's good. That's
what does she
person.
Agree? What do you?
The numbers.
She agreed that I could find out what 5% of $648 is and then add those two numbers together. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Excellent.
I like how she disappears and then she backs away.
She's like a financial ninja.
Can you tell me what that number was again? I'm sorry.
680.40.
That's right. Are you afraid of changing things on the fly here? It looks like two dates and two numbers, sir.
I think we can do it.
Two dates and one number. What about the mayor's? Does that go up 5% or that stays?
Your mic's not on, just so you know.
That's flat.
Just want to make sure people are hearing
you.
So,
I'm not comfortable adding any more than what we've already done. I'm like borderline as it is to accept what we have for 2022. So it'd be hard pressed for me to now introduce new numbers that the public hasn't had a chance to digest yet. And I definitely don't want to bring this item back because I want to talk about other things. We have a lot of big issues that I want to get moving on. And so I don't want to constantly be spending council time discussing this. So I'm happy to support it the way it is, but not till 2022. Those are the numbers that the public is familiar with, and we're not going to introduce new numbers, and doing that just makes it look like we're sneaking something in at the last minute. I know that is not your intent. I just don't want that perceived intent to be out there.
Is that a motion?
Oh, no, I wasn't making a motion. I was making a comment.
And I agree, too. I think I don't think the dollar amount is so significant that it's going to change anybody's life significantly in the sense of causing someone to serve or not. I think there's value there. I think we're showing value for the position. I really like marrying it with the districting at the same time. It gives us some distance from this council. And still, we are kicking the can down the road a little bit longer, but something is still being accomplished, and I still think a lot of people I've talked to are really appreciative of the work we do. A lot of people that are my constituents, that reminded me, were very happy with the 2022, giving us some distance from many of these things that we're going to be dealing with in a short term. I think once we have some clarity from some of those things, certainly we'll have other challenges moving forward, but I think this gives us a little bit of room, and we're still showing that we appreciate incoming council members. So I would support exactly where we stand with the numbers that we have here starting in 2022.
Is that a motion?
Yes,
that's a motion. I wasn't sure, honestly. Yes, I'm not trying to be
explanation.
Facetious.
No, that would be my motion, is to keep the ordinance as written, but add the amounts that we've already designated starting in effective December of 2022 to include the mayor's salary.
Second.
Can I just clarify for the record so we have it? So that's Section 2, Municipal Code Section 2.04040B and D will now read December 1st, 2022. Everything else stays the same.
Very good. Yes.
Further discussion? We have a motion, a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
You want to read the title?
Oh, thank you very much.
This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande amending Section 2.04.040 of Chapter 2.04 of Title II of the Rio Grande Municipal Code relating to City Council compensation.
Councilmember Shorten?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Paulding?
No.
Councilmember George?
Yes.
And Mayor Ray Russom?
Yes. That takes us to items 12. We have no items 11 tonight for new business. That's City Council reports. So I'm up first. CJPIA is July only, and that has not met. Sanitation District did meet, and I have significant notes there, but it was a lot of discussion about the redundancy project schedule update. The upshot of that is that we are expecting to go to bid, or as of that meeting, we were expecting to go to bid pretty quick here. And then I just received an email yesterday saying that the USDA funding was maybe delayed. I'm unclear about exactly what's going to happen with that, and there's some significant changes that have happened since the last meeting. So I'm hesitating to update you with what happened at the last meeting because there has been change since then. So the next meeting is next week, and so at our next meeting, if there's something significant, even if it's not City Council reports, I'll go ahead and report out at that time because I do expect that there's going to be some changes to what I've been consistently reporting for like the last 6 months. So TBID, I was unable to attend yesterday, but the upshot of that meeting was the monthly report from Verdin, which you will see most of those social media numbers in the IOIs, the items of interest as you receive them next, and also the cancellation of the December meeting due to lack of quorum. So with that, Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge.
No report outs on any of those.
Councilmember Paulding.
No significant items to report.
Councilmember Storton.
Let's see. Five Cities Fire Authority. We had our meeting on November 15th, and we're in closed session for labor negotiations. And that was the only item for that agenda. On the integrated waste management, we met on November 13th. And as people may or may not be aware, there was a little bit of the IWMA had struggled over the last several years with some issues regarding litigation, and has since really is recovering nicely and doing a lot of things to put more accountability and transparency back into a lot of the processes. So we have a new executive director now who is negotiating a number of RFPs to include annual auditings, a revenue audit of last several years of money coming in and out. We've started a plan for a strategic plan moving forward, and also working with benefit packages with existing IWMA employees, and kind of mimicking a lot of what the county is doing. And so working a lot with the county now in order to incorporate a lot of the services. It's been really beneficial, and moving forward, it looks like things are running smoothly. And for the South County Chamber of Commerce Government Affairs Committee, I was unable to make the last meeting, and our November and December meetings have been canceled due to the holidays.
Councilmember George.
So for the Community Action Partnership, it's decided for the next year, our budget is $111 million. So we have quite a lot of money that we manage because we have some pretty amazing programs. Things to report out from that meeting. There's currently, this is at 40 Prado, there's currently no dedicated beds paid for by the county for inmates that are released from prison. And this is mainly for inmates that are released from prison after hours. So when they're released, how 40 Prado works is you have to reserve your spot earlier in the day. So by 4 p.m., there's nothing that a released inmate can do. And so CAPSLO has decided, well, we voted on, to partner with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition to bid for a $350,000 program that the county would then support in order to have a dedicated bed for inmates. And these inmates, when they're released, they're vetted, so they're not they have a really strict guidelines as far as who can and can't be at the homeless shelter. So they're excited about that. I'm excited about the partnership with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. What it does with that money is it also not only has a dedicated bed reserved for inmates that are released, it also dedicates one case manager to the inmates, as opposed to right now, if an inmate comes in, there's like eight different people in all different programs, and no one's talking to the next person, and this has one dedicated case manager that will handle all these different programs, including counseling services, parent education, support groups, job rehabilitation. Other than that, that was really the two big items that we discussed at CAPSLO. We did go into closed session. It was a personnel issue, so I can't discuss that. Visit SloCal was supposed to be December 5th, and it's all about marketing, and I love marketing, so I always look forward to these meetings, and I just received an email saying that meeting has been postponed. Because they are waiting for some strategic planning process kickoff in quarter one of 2020, where they will be getting some final tourism marketing information from their board. So we will hopefully see something and have a meeting sometime first quarter of 2020. And those are my two report outs. Thank you.
Thank you. That takes us to council communications.
Yep. I got two. Let's see, the first one is the Five Cities Homeless Coalition Warming Center is being activated starting this evening, I believe. And because there's rain and cold coming Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, they plan to be open four or five nights coming up. They desperately need volunteers. I looked at the list before the meeting, and there were some volunteer signups, but definitely they need some people to make dinner those nights. I know it's the holidays, but if you can swing a couple of hours, just shoot me an email or message me on social media.
I think dinner's covered Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
They just need people to help with check-in, and they need help with patrolling the area for Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Thursday they need everything.
Yeah, and Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
I think they don't have much. And it's only for an hour and a half or 2 hours at the minimum. So that's easy to do if you can swing that. Also, I wanted to read a letter that the council received from from a citizen in the community thanking the fire department. It's short, but I think that it's important. It says, Mayor and Council, this is to thank and commend the Roy Grandy Fire Department, its chief, and two of its members. The chief has recruited and trained fine people. Fireman John Bova and Aaron Hunt came to my house in Roy Grandy and assisted me greatly. I use a walker because of my balance problems. Transitioning to the walker, I tumbled over backwards and landed flat on the floor on my back and was unable to rise. Mr. Bova and Mr. Hunt came on the 911 call, highly professional, thorough, and competent. They checked me out and then got me back up. So many thanks to the team of Bova and Hunt. And it's very cute. He says, here's a footnote. 80 years ago, my father was a fireman, and that helps me understand what they do. So it's always nice. I know the fire department and the police department in Roy Grande does a tremendous job, but it's always nice that he actually took the time to write a letter. So I just wanted to highlight that. Thank you.
Any others?
So I have two items. One is a more personal one. Well, they're both kind of personal. So the first one is there's a cave fire going on right now in Santa Barbara. I don't know if any of you are aware. My mother-in-law was evacuated, but my brother-in-law is actually a fire engineer for a Santa Barbara County fire. And this is just kind of a fun story. He is a water tender, so his job is to make sure that they have water. And when you go up, he was at the point of origin, so at the very top of Painted Cave, and he has to go and search for water, and it's crucial so that they can put the fire out. So he was there, and he was like, okay. He was trying to figure out where to go first, and this gentleman comes up to him, and he says, hi, I just wanted to show you I have a map. And he opened up the map, and he said, this map identifies all of the fire hydrants we have in this area and their PSI. So literally it took my brother-in-law 10 minutes and made getting water resources to the firemen so much quicker. And I just wanted to thank all the firemen. I think there were over 600 responders out there last night. They, as of last I heard, I could be wrong because I haven't been on the news in the past 6-7 hours, but they were able to save all the homes. And that's huge because Painted Cave, this summer will be 30 years that hundreds and hundreds of homes were lost, including my husband's home. So it's a touchy subject for the people who live in that area, and for the firefighters to be able to protect and defend the homes is admirable. So when we talk about fire, it's not just and the 600 people came from everywhere. It's not like it was just Santa Barbara County fire. So when we talk about compensation and recognition and respect for our fire men and our first responders, it's with a lot of respect that I take any item that comes before me and analyze, because everything that they do to keep us safe is just, it's invaluable. So that was fire. Second thing is I'm part of an organization called Sisters Giving Back, and this year we identified 30 families from the Santa Maria YMCA that are part of a program. These boys they're taken from third grade, and they're identified as at-risk children, and it's proven that from the third to fifth grade, they're very vulnerable to develop bad habits, if you will. And so they've been adopted by the YMCA in the sense that they put them in this program. It's called Rise Up. And they mentor these kids, and they teach them how to swim, and they teach them STEM. STEM is a huge part. Last year, they built a solar robot, and these kids just thrived off of it. The program is a three-year program, third, fourth, fifth grade. And then after fifth grade, they graduate into the Bulldog program through Hancock, and Hancock then takes it from there. So we identified these 30 children, and we decided we want to make sure that they have gifts under their tree for Christmas. And we reached out to the community. We have an event coming up on December 3rd, which is Giving Tuesday. We reached out to the community, and initially we said, we just want to make sure these 30 kids have gifts. And then we grew it to, no, that's not enough. We want their siblings to have gifts. We want their parents to have gifts. So we want 30 families to have gifts. And to date, we haven't even had our event yet. We're 2/3 to our goal. So thank you to the community. Thank you to everyone who's already contributed. We're thrilled. And that's December 3rd. If you want more information, you can ask me. I won't plug it here, but thank you.
That's it. I have a few things. So, first of all, I want to reiterate what Linda Oste reminded the community, that there is the Five Cities Rotary free movie. It happened on Fifth Avenue on December 14th. And a couple other things that came up a little bit earlier. Don't forget to turn off your irrigation meters, your water, this week. And I also posted on my mayor Facebook page a little bit earlier today. Please go there. The Friends of Five Cities Fire has a initiative that they're pushing forward called Get Ready Five Cities, and that's all about disaster preparedness and being ready for power outages, et cetera. We may be looking at that in the next 48, 72 plus hours. So it might be just because we're having a chance to think about it, it's a good time to check out that website. The website is www.friendsoffivecitiesfire.com, and the number five is the number five. So spell it all out, but the number five. And if you can't remember that, just go to my mayor page on Facebook, and there is a link there for you to take a look at. And finally, maybe on behalf of the council, I want to just say how much gratitude I have to the city of Aurora Grande for allowing me to do this job. While I've been serving the city of Aurora Grande for 15 years, this is my first time as mayor, and it has been amazingly rewarding. It's challenging, and but it is by far the pinnacle of everything that I've done, including all of my service in the past. And I'm sure that I speak for all of us in saying thank you so much, that we have gratitude to every single citizen that's out there for giving us the opportunity to serve you. So if there's nothing else.
Two things.
Sir.
Thanksgiving this week, so just thankful for my colleagues and the people that showed up here tonight. And I hope everybody has a good time with their families this week. We do have the Village Christmas Parade coming up on Sunday at 5 o'clock. So that's a great community event. Hope people can come down. And if you're listening, come on down and enjoy the festivities. It's always a good time. It always reminds us of what a great community we have.
Oh, that was one other thing, too, that I meant to say is the following Sunday is Elegant Christmas in the Village, and that is our night where we, the village businesses, hand out goodies and get dressed up and come down, and above all, please enjoy the village, but shop local for the holidays. Don't forget to spend your money here. So, all right, everyone, thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving.